And turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 12. We would like to read verses 1 through 13 this morning. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. We have here two occurrences, both occurring on the Sabbath day, which the Jewish Sabbath was the seventh day, our Saturday, seventh day of the week. First thing that we want to know is that Jesus clears his disciples of wrongdoing. We have that in verses 1 through 8. Verses 9 through 13 deal with the second occurrence. But in verses 1 through 8, we have Jesus clearing or acquitting his disciples of any wrongdoing. The disciples plucking and eating corn as they walked through the field, and Jesus clearing them of wrong, indicates that works of necessity are lawful on the Sabbath. Think about that. Works of necessity are lawful on the Sabbath. Let us notice what the disciples were doing. Well, that's in verse 1. They were obviously following Jesus Christ. Our verse tells us Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. As customary was, I'm told by Jewish experts supposedly, that was the common. I mean, they passed through the fields to go to a place, a certain place, whatever. Not everything. They didn't have the roads and the highways that we have today. They had main highway and that took them maybe from city to city or what have you. But other parts, they passed through the fields. Our text makes mention that this was on the Sabbath. And it makes mention that his disciples were hungered. His disciples being hungry, they began to pick and eat the corn, as our text calls it. It was rather than corn as we think of corn on an ear and the kernels on there. It was probably a grain, which is what they grew. And probably this time of year, they most likely think it was probably barley or something of that nature. Might have even been flax or wheat. But anyhow, it was some type of grain. It was food. That's the important thing. It was food, and they were picking it. And in the book of Luke and chapter 6 and verse 1, it tells us that they were plucking it, and they were rubbing it in their hands, which would have been to get rid of the hull and the chaff, and then take the grain and they would eat it. This was a practice that was allowed for. This field wasn't their field. This was the field of another. Well, you know what our society would be today if you went into their field and you began to pluck and to eat what was in their field. You'd probably get yourself arrested for stealing or thievery. But this was provided for in their law. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23. In verse 24 and 25, when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure, but thou shalt not put any in thy vessel, in your sack or in your basket or whatever. You could eat because you were hungry. And you need a deed. When thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand, but thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. You see, you could, if you were hungry, you could pick enough to satisfy your hunger, to give sustenance to your body, but you could not go in and you could not harvest their field. That was stealing. That's when it became stealing. So this was a practice that was allowed, and the thought was that they were eating to satisfy hunger. Which God provided for in His law. It was lawful for them to do it. If they were in such a state that they needed food to eat, they could pick the corn and eat it. They just couldn't lay to store, you see. Verse 2, we have those old self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. Matthew doesn't share that the scribes were with him, but wherever the Pharisees went, the scribes were sure to be. I think as Luke shares with us that it was the scribes and the Pharisees. were the ones, but they take offense. They said, your disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. How dare them? How dare that they would go out and that they would gather food on the Sabbath day and eat it? Well, you could just hear it. We do similar, don't we? Because one does something that we think is wrong, not taking into account the situation which drove them to do it, we stand in condemnation of them. Well, that was these Pharisees. We've encountered them before, have we not? It was allowed on another day for them to do that. It's okay to go into your neighbor's field and to eat on another day, but not on the Sabbath. And notice back in the passage we read in Deuteronomy, didn't say on the Sabbath you were allowed to go into. And so Israel knew that the practice was God didn't like them, didn't want them going out and gathering in on the Sabbath day to eat. And so work on the Sabbath day was taboo. It was allowed on any other day, but not on the Sabbath. To them, to those Pharisees and scribes, it didn't matter. They were harvesting. They were working on the Sabbath day. And they shouldn't have been. And I want you to know that they said this with contempt. They said this with astonishment and contempt. Jesus had been reproving their deeds. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Except your righteousness exceed the scribes and the Pharisees," and he pointed out the scribes and the Pharisees and the practices of the scribes and the Pharisees, which were all outward and external, but it did nothing with the internal. And Jesus points to the internal time and time again. And then he goes into this sixth chapter and says, when you give alms, don't do as the Pharisees do. When you pray, don't do as the Pharisees do. When you fast, don't do as the Pharisees do. Jesus had been reproving them, and now they were filled with contempt towards him. Hatred. They were looking to get something on him. And his disciples. Well, verses 3 through 8, which we read, we have Christ's response to them. And in these verses, Jesus replies to their better than thou attitude. That's what I've called it. He replies to their better than thou attitude. That's what it was. We're better than you. We don't do these things. And you hadn't ought to either. Jesus gives to us, I believe, the true spirit of the law. The true spirit of the law. He acquits his disciples by giving previous examples from the law and the prophets, which they had, and they knew well. And the first one that he gives them, and are these examples are things that the Pharisees countered is all right because who they were. The first example is David.
Well, that was David. And even though he wasn't king then, he was anointed to be king, and he was going to be king. And we know that David was a godly man. He was a great king in Israel. David was. And so the incident that the Lord uses here is found in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 21. And just to give you the setting there, David, you recall, is fleeing from Saul. And David comes to Jonathan, and they say their goodbyes, and David departs, and he goes into the city, and he goes to Ahimelech, the priest, at the house of God. And he goes there on the Sabbath day. And note, Ahimelech, the priest, was in, would have been the tabernacle then. The temple wasn't yet built. The house of God was still the tabernacle, which resided upon a mount. And David goes in there on the Sabbath day, and he asks Ahimelech for bread. And Ahimelech says, I have no bread, only this showbread, which, by the way, Ahimelech was in there removing the showbread from the table and putting new, fresh, baked showbread on there, which was what he was to do, they were to do every Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, they were to bake new loaves and take out the old loaves and put in the new and all the rituals that went with it. And this is all that I have. And that was to be given, that old showbread was to be the priest, divided up among the priests, and that was their food, that was their bread to eat. David says, give me some and give to my men. And Ahimelech did so. That's the incident that Jesus is reporting here. The fact that it was only for the priests is stated for us in the book of Leviticus in chapter 24, that it was food for the priests. And so that brings us to the next thing. I mean, he cited the incident of David, which they would have been well familiar with, of David going in and eating the showbread on the Sabbath day, and the priest being in there on the Sabbath day, replacing the old with the new. He'd have been doing work. And then he says, and have you not read about the priest? In verse 5 of our text. How that the priests profane the Sabbath day, and they're guiltless. They're without blame. Because why were they without blame? Because it was required of God. They were, according to, and not only were they to change out the showbread on the Sabbath day, and put the new in there, but they were to, according to Numbers chapter 28, they were to take 2 burnt offerings on the Sabbath day and offer 2 burnt offerings on the Sabbath day. Well, what was involved in that? Oh, that would have been great work. I mean, it wouldn't have been very much probably to bake 12 loaves of bread to replace the showbread in the holy place on the table of showbread. But now you're talking about killing 2 animals and dividing them up like they were supposed to be divided up for the burnt offering and the calves and the inwards and so forth and what was to be burnt on the altar. And all the ritual that went into that, so those offerings of the sacrifices, which were to be done on the Sabbath. So there was labor being done on the Sabbath day.
No one held against them.
Be done. Jesus uses these instances. One that these Pharisees would have been well acquainted with. Also, he justifies his disciples by three pressing arguments. Verse 6 is the first. He says, there is one in this place. Think about that. There is one in this place. There is a man in this place that is greater than the temple. There's one right here in your midst right now. And I that speak am he that is greater than the temple. All that the temple and the works of service therein the temple portrayed, all that they portrayed, the colors and the fabric and the wood and the instruments and the altars and the table of showbread and the candlestick and all of that, it pointed to Jesus Christ. In some fashion, and something to do with his character. In all fashions. He's here in this place. We're told in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, Jesus Christ in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes, he's greater than the temple. And so in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10, verses that we know well, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. We have another verse in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 3, that references him being greater than the temple, being greater than the tabernacle, being greater than the temple, being greater than the church. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, for this man, Christ Jesus, verse preceding that is talking about Moses being faithful to him that appointed him. Moses was faithful in all his house. That is, in all his business and all his dealings and all the revelations, all the mind of God that God delivered to Moses and the pattern that God delivered to Moses in the building of the tabernacle. And then it was the likeness was carried on into the temple as far as the three distinguishing, shall we say, courts, rooms, you see. And said, for this man, Jesus Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, than the tabernacle which was erected and constructed at the mouth of Moses from God, the directions from God in the days of Moses. Inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Jesus Christ, the builder. Jesus Christ of what the tabernacle portrayed. Jesus Christ of what the temple portrayed. Jesus Christ of what the church is to portray was greater than that. So he says,
to these scribes and these Pharisees. Oh, these blind leaders of the blind. And so he says there's one present. There's one in this place who's greater than the temple. Secondly, he says, God will have mercy over sacrifice. Ah, this is a quote. What he said here was a quote from the book of Hosea, chapter 6 and verse 6. We encountered that same saying back in chapter 9. After that he called Matthew, and then he had eaten, and then he deals with those scribes and Pharisees again. And he deals with them concerning the souls of men. They say, because Jesus ate with publicans and sinners. Jesus said it's better to have mercy than to sacrifice. Saying he was here to heal them of their sickness. They that need a physician are not the well, but they that need a physician are the sick. And they were in need of the great physician. And he was going to be merciful for their soul. And so he says, here, the same concerning mercy. Mercy, the Sabbath was ordained for the good of the body, was it not? In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it tells us here that it was ordained for man. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 14 says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. It was a day to come apart from servitude. It was a day to come apart from labor, to give the body rest. The body needs rest. And the Lord said it needs rest one day out of seven. Out of the seven. So the Sabbath day was created. And that was in the same reference, Mark makes mention of that fact in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath was made for the good of man, for the good of his body and for the good of his spiritual. We need it, he said. If you knew what that meant, if you knew what it meant to have mercy and not sacrifice, if you knew what that meant, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Who determines a man's guilt? God does. God doesn't hold them accountable. Should you or I be holding them accountable? If God is pleased to show them mercy, if God is pleased to show us mercy, then shouldn't we show them mercy? If you knew what that meant, You would not have condemned the guiltless if you knew what it was to have mercy shown unto you. Then you would have been merciful concerning the needs of others, is what he was saying. Which you can see more fully in the sixth chapter of Luke, which starts out with this thing of the Sabbath day and the thing of being merciful and stuff. But we read this in Luke chapter 6 and in verses 35 through 38. He says, "But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." As your Father has been merciful to you, so be ye merciful, he says. Judge not. Be merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Be merciful. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Be merciful. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. With the same measure of mercy that you meet out, it'll be measured to you.
I need God's mercy every day.
Amen. Thank goodness it's there every day. I ought to be merciful to my fellow man as well then, as God has been merciful to me. And that's what he was saying here to these Pharisees. And then thirdly, he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath in verse 8. Notice what he says, the Son of Man is Lord. You got that? Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you acknowledge it or not, he's Lord. Our verse says, even of the Sabbath. In other words, he's Lord of all. He's Lord over everything. Even of the Sabbath day. Christ was the institutor of it at creation. He was the institutor of it at Mount Sinai when he gave the law concerning the Sabbath. And being the institutor of it, is it not in his hand to do with it as he pleases? Yes, it is. He is Lord of it. And it's fit that that day and all the work of it should be dedicated to him. All the work of it. Thank you, Lord, for these hands which are able to pick the corn. And thank you for the food that you've given me, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. So work for the holy and work for the necessity of the body are acceptable. He pointed out, example, work about the holy, the temple, such as our pastors today. Pastors work on the Lord's Day, as do other servants of the Lord in the house of the Lord. Teachers, song leaders, work on the Lord's Day. So works for the holy and works for the necessity of the body, he points out, are acceptable to be performed on that day. So we come to the second occasion, the second incident. This point two is mercy is lawful on the Sabbath. Mercy is lawful on the Sabbath. And that's found in verses 9 through 13. Jesus and his disciples, passing through the corn fields, enter in to their synagogue, into the synagogue of those that he had been bantering with, those whom he had been discoursing with. He enters into their synagogue. And it was on the Sabbath day. It was that same day. And there he heals a man with a withered hand, thus showing to us that works of mercy are also lawful and proper on that day. We have doctors and nurses and hospital staff and nursing home staff and so forth that have to work. They have to work on the Lord's Day. They have to work on the Christian Sabbath day. It's works of mercy. It's work for the good of another, for the benefit of another, for those who can't care for themselves and are helpless, you see. So notice the afflicted in verse 10. This man's hand was withered. It was means it was dried up. What's it mean for the hand to be dried up? Well, even the fluid out of it, the blood out of it, I don't know, nerves and the sinew, it was all shriveled up and deformed. We've seen people with deformed hands, feet. Some this man's hand was withered up for whatever reason. It was of no use. Being thus, he was utterly unable to get his living by working with his hands. The Jewish writers say this man was a plasterer. Well, a plasterer, he needs both his hands. Especially the way they used to do it. They used to hold the plaster here and a plate on this hand and a trowel on this hand and they would plaster. But then it took two hands and only having one hand, he couldn't do his work. He couldn't do his livelihood. But notice, this poor man was in the synagogue. I don't know whether there's any significance in that or not, but he was in the synagogue. I don't know, maybe because he only had one hand, maybe he's in there doing in the synagogue what he could do in the synagogue. Not important. The man's hand is withered. And notice the Pharisees, verse 10. Oh, they're there. They're there. It may be the Pharisees that brought this man with a withered hand into the synagogue just to see what Jesus would do with him. I think one of the Gospel of Mark or Luke says they stood back to see what Jesus would do. You know, here it says they posed the question to him. They posed the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? They were not seeking information. They didn't really want to know what Jesus thought. They had already determined in their mind that it was not lawful. No work was to be done on the Sabbath day. They were seeking accusation against him. Our verse tells us that they might accuse him. They wanted something that would stand up, that they could accuse him. And we know that it was so that they could accuse him of death. You see. is it lawful? They didn't realize it, but in essence they were asking, is it lawful to be merciful on the Lord's day? The Lord already said, have you not read? God, the Lord, will have mercy and not sacrifice? Well, Christ's reply, knowing their intentions, his response is one that, well, as I'd like to put it, it gets them where they live. Gets them right where they live. Because to get down where they live, he says, what one of you, if you have a sheep, and he's in danger, will you not deliver him? Well, that was acceptable. That was acceptable. To the scribes and the priests, it was acceptable to any Israelite. If you got a beast that's in harm's way, you go take care of him. You go deliver him. Jesus says, "Is not man more valuable?" Man is of more value than a sheep. Man that is rational, a rational being, is of greater worth, far greater worth than the beast of the field. The health of a man is of greater importance to us than the life of an animal. Boy, that needs to be preached among our society today. There are people out there today that value the life of an animal far above the life of a human being. So, what Jesus ends up with, works of mercy, and work that is done about the holy, as well as work out of necessity for the sustenance of life, are works that are acceptable on the Lord's day. Let us remember that. Works of necessity for the sustenance of the body, works about the holy, and then works that are works of mercy for the benefit and help of one who's afflicted, one who's suffering, one who's in need. In verse 13, Jesus heals the man. Though those scribes and Pharisees were not able to answer the Lord, as we'll see in the next verses, they persisted in their enmity, to the point that something whereof he might be guilty of death, that they might put him to death. Man's hands are withered. Let us remember that man's hands are withered. By nature, men's hands are withered, and so are utterly unable to do anything for themselves. Man's totally unable to do anything for himself to come to Christ, to come to salvation in Jesus Christ. Only Christ can cure. Only Christ can heal. Only He has the power to heal. Only He has the power of eternal life. He's Lord. We saw last week in John 17 and verse 2, that he's been given power to give eternal life. Power is in his hand to give eternal life. Jesus tells us in John chapter 5 and verse 24 that obedience to the Word is what's necessary. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath," right now, "has eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." In another place it said, "He that hears and does my word." He that hears the word and then believes it. Jesus gives eternal life through the preaching of the word, through faith. It's a grace. It's a gift.